Everyone, and we are excited for this episode.
Yeah, as promised, we were telling people on the last episode that we've got someone to talk about anxieties and how to deal with anxieties. And would you call yourself a well-being coach? Is that what you would? How would you yeah. explain yeah. to us? Because I know there's a lot of like yeah. you're not sure when it comes to this kind of thing.
There's so many terms, isn't there? Names.
Oh, Jade Brooks, these. Everyone, you can introduce. Yeah.
Jade Brooks. So my name's Jade Brooks, and I'm officially a certified business psychologist. So I did my master's in psychology, and then I call myself, you know, a well-being consultant, a life coach, got psychotherapy. So it could be a number of different things, but very much under that well-being umbrella.
So you're very clever.
Well,
so what we thought we'd give you all today is a couple of pointers. Did you say you've got how many points?
Well, it could be, well, I usually like to give around 5 to 6, you know, some good ones, so yeah, you can yeah. take away. You go off on one and give you too many, it becomes quite difficult, doesn't it, to digest.
Yeah, yeah. So we suggest everyone get your pens and papers, take yeah. some notes.
Because we know personally, me and Courtney have both been through our sort of like journeys when it comes to sort of anxieties and worrying and struggling and just all of that usual stuff that I know lots of people go through. I feel like as well it's become very sort of
about.
Like yeah like recently it's, like people
like
are aware.
Everyone yeah everyone talks about it, and I feel like when everyone speaks out about it, we don't
yeah
we never ever talk about it. We talk about it to each other, but we don't talk about it openly, where we should probably talk about our anxieties more openly. But because I see that everyone's doing it, I feel like everyone can take that, everyone can talk about it themselves, and I just keep mine to myself. Yeah. That's what you're like as well.
Well, I think because like everybody sort of like diagnoses themselves now, don't they, with like anxiety and yeah. stuff. So everyone's just like, oh God. Like my mum always says, like, you know, anxiety is a thing, but people will just, you know, worry about crossing the road and they'll say, oh, I've got anxiety. My mum's like, that's not anxiety.
Yeah.
So she's like, the word anxiety is used too much now. But so when it comes to actually like expressing personal anxiety and stuff, you know, I just worry that people will be like, well, that's not anxiety, mine's worse than yours. So I don't really I don't really ever voice it or like talk about it, but I definitely have my demons.
Yeah, I think anxiety, you're completely right, because there's a bit of a, you know, we went through a bit of a period where everyone was kind of like, it's okay to be to not be okay, talk about it.
Yeah,
but you're completely right. Now nowadays, you know, you're just crossing the road, you can have a feeling and you have that anxiety, people, oh, I've got anxiety, and yeah. that's it, it's
But you, I think you that that's like come from social media and stuff as well. Because I have like a younger stepsister. She's not that young, but she's like 21 or something. Yeah. And I feel like they're sort of the generation that they grew up in, because they grew up in this whole like, it's okay to not be okay stage. Mm-hmm. Everyone's decided they're not okay. Like, and that's, you know, that might be, everyone's got their own things, but everyone sort of has decided like to self-diagnose themselves with like depression and anxiety. And my mum says to her, like, you know, you're not depressed, you're okay, you're just having a bad, you're just a bit sad today. But you know, there's people that actually have it, and I think yeah, it's sort of like gone the other way, sort of as opposed to years ago, nobody had any of this, now everybody's got like some sort of somewhere.
Yeah, I think there's a problem of labeling, isn't there? So labeling, I think there's a real problem in society with, you know, there's so many labels flying around, you know, everyone's got something and everyone's like worrying around, there's a lot of worry around what am I suffering from if I'm not suffering from something. So there's definitely that kind of issue with labeling and thinking that we are that label, and then kind of feeling bad about ourselves. But one in three people nowadays in the young adulthood group are suffering from anxiety. That's what the stats are saying, they're so high. So
mad. Yeah. Well, it's like, I feel like when I'm feeling like anxiety or depressed, like, I don't like to admit it to myself. I go the other way, like whereas some people like have anxiety and depression, like they would speak out about it, which I think is amazing, because it just makes people feel like they're not alone. But with me, I hide it.
Yeah, I've almost got, I think I've got this like weird thing where I think almost like some like old school army thing where it's like seen as a weakness.
Yeah.
So I don't, and I wouldn't want people to think I was weak. So I wouldn't really it's like an old school thing. I don't know.
I feel like in that matter, me and Chloe are so similar when it comes to our feelings that we bottle it up and we don't really speak out about it. we kind of battle it ourselves.
Mm. Yeah. And then is that because of your friends, social comparison? You feel that because of social media, you need to be always okay? Or yeah. What do you think that's?
Yeah, I guess because on social media, you always have to act like you've got the perfect life and you're always so happy. But also, I don't know, I would hate to tell someone how I feel and how I'm feeling them and then say oh, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because you know how you're feeling, and I know that I'm not fine, and I know that I probably won't be fine for the next couple of days, and I would just hate for someone to put me down. So I just keep it quiet. And I battle it myself.
Yeah. Also, you get a lot, if I've ever slightly spoken out about anything, we get a lot of oh, but your life's perfect because, you know, you're on TV and you earn millions and millions, which is not true. And so your life is absolutely perfect. And, you know, you go to all these amazing events. How could you be sad? We get that kind of reaction of people thinking we're stupid.
It's kind of just we're not worthy to have to feel depressed or anxiety. That we don't need that because we have this lifestyle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think
and I think as well, even without the whole TV stuff, and I think even before that, I've never been one to I don't spill everything that's going on all the time. I don't hold back. If there's something big, I had an argument with George the other day and I was telling Courtney, I'll always if there's something big, I will talk about it. But I don't know. Sometimes I feel, I think I just feel silly to tell my friends. I think as well, I've always sort of played the role in everybody's life of being the person that they come to for advice. So I'm seen this kind of strong person. Do you know what I mean? And so for them, me to then be struggling or having issues or whatever, I kind of have built myself up to this point where I can't be that, because I'm supposed to be this strong. I don't know. Yeah,
it's true, because I always go to Claire, I need to rant, and then I'll send her a voice ranting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just have always been that person. I've sort of made myself that person with all of my friends. I feel I'm quite good at dishing out advice, but I don't actually take it on board myself. So
No one takes their own advice.
I don't listen to my advice when I should do. I completely get you. Of all my friends, I must have 10 conversations a day with just my friends, because they think I have the answers for everything. No one's immune to feeling down. It's still your brain. We can do the neuroscience piece around your brain and how it works and how it takes in information, but we all feel up and down. Nobody should ever feel perfect, and anxiety is not necessarily always a bad thing. It can be a good thing when you have a threat, you know that if you're crossing the road and there's a car coming, that's a good thing, because that's your response. But I think anxiety's got such a bad rep, and actually we need to break it down, work out what our triggers are, and then we can easily cover that and get over it. But we do need to be honest with ourselves and realize that nobody is normal, nobody is perfect. And I think there's so many pressures, especially on your age group nowadays, than there were ever pressure-wise. There's so many pressures to be amazing, to be great, to have a perfect life. And it's just not realistic.
Yet social media, isn't it? Just makes you compare yourself.
Yeah, it's good and bad, isn't it? There's so many good things that come out of social media, but the editing, the body image, so these young people growing up, they're so distorted, aren't they? Their mindset of who they should be, it's really sad.
Yeah.
So what would be your pointers with dealing with anxiety?
There's a lot that I've tried to find the best ones, and I'll give the best ones that I think would be worthwhile. The best one, and I use it, and it's definitely the one that I think is the best coping mechanism, is to actually get those thoughts out of your brain. Use a therapy journal, a nice notebook, get a great notebook, a nice one with a hardback cover, something that you feel you like the look of, and just write your thoughts in it. Do it daily. And that is the best way to rid those evil and destructive thoughts, because we're keeping them in our brain.
So and keep do a diary, amazing. Basically.
Yeah, it's the most. I know that I have a lot of male clients, and they are always dismissive. Oh, don't be silly, Jane. I'm not going to keep a journal.
Yeah.
And they do it. They try it out, and they really like it, because they're just getting out all this stuff out of their brain. And it can be good, bad, not necessarily all bad. But do a rating, in the morning, how good am I feeling out of 1 to 10? Oh, today I'm feeling a 7. And then reflect on that day when you wake up the next day, and those things are really helpful. And it's small stuff, isn't it?
I do find that when I write how I'm feeling down it makes me feel like I've got a weight off my shoulders. Yes. But I don't necessarily send it. Like I'll set, like I'll do a voice that will be like around him, but I don't necessarily send it. I just wanted to get it off my chest. So that is a good idea to just write it in a journal. Yeah.
But voice notes are good as well, because you could keep them on your phone and listen to them, because it's always good to reflect. We don't have, I find that this day and age, we're all so quick, aren't we? Everything's so fast paced and we're always on the go and we don't reflect enough. And if we just were to listen to one of those voice notes or actually read one of those extracts, you might think, oh, wow, I've come a long way since last week or a month ago. Yeah. And that can feel really good and empowering.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good one. I do feel like I've heard that before. Yeah, like write down. I've been told before when I've done that whole thing, where I feel like lots of people have done it, where I felt like not in a good place or felt really down or anxious, and I've like gone to Google and been like, Google, help me, fix me,
cure me.
And lots of them will say like, write down everything that you're like grateful for, like remember, because I feel like it's very hard when you're not feeling good. It's very, very, very easy to focus on all of the negatives in your life and not the positives. And that's just what I do. I'll like find all of the horrible things that are happening and not actually focus on, like, you know, I've got like amazing things around me, and I do have things, you know, some people wish that they could have. Like I always remember I was not feeling great a while ago, and I went to the NTAs, so like the National Television Awards, and obviously there's a big red carpet, and I got like dressed by this designer, this amazing dress flown over from like Israel. I had my hair and makeup done, like had all of these pictures done, and I remember I was sitting watching this show, and I was sitting there and I was so sad, and I was thinking, what's wrong with you? Like, you look where you are. Like, there are people that are watching this on TV that would dream one day that they could go to something like this. Like, and look where you are. Look what you're doing. Like, why are you not happy? Be grateful for what you've got. But I feel like when you're in that mindset and you're not feeling good, you just cannot, no matter what, like, you could have all these amazing things around you and you just can't get out of it. Like, it's a really, it's a horrible, scary thing. Place to be. It's horrible. And you know, like, I was fully aware that I was at this amazing event and, you know, in an amazing dress and having the most amazing night, but I could not, for whatever reason, like, instill that in my head and be like, yes, this is amazing, enjoy yourself. And I felt like just ungrateful and like, just, it was just horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also, you're arguing if you're in your, so basically you've got an animal brain and a midbrain and they argue with each other. So you hear that voice in your head sometimes that'll get a grip, you know, you can do this.
Yeah.
And sometimes like we put pressure on ourselves because we have this conflict in our head and we're arguing. And sometimes you just need to like let that voice come in and be like, okay, that's fine, I don't feel good today, and stop trying to put too much pressure on you to actually then suddenly have to feel good, because you're going from one extreme to the other then, aren't you? You need to kind of let that settle in. Okay, that's fine. Write down your bad thoughts, all the good thoughts, and just take your time. I think we all need to give ourselves some more time. Anxiety is a spectrum feeling. It could come in waves. It could be 5 minutes. It could be a long term, like the generalized anxiety.
Yeah, thought. Sometimes I get like a 3 second anxiety wave. I'm not even joking. And I'll say to George, oh my God, I just had like a thing of anxiety just hit me, and it's really weird. And then it will like just go away. And he even gets that as well. And he's not someone that like admits to his like he's just not someone that would like, you know, in like, not that anyone enjoys anxiety, but you know, like he would just not really talk about it, or like he's not really open with stuff like that. And every now and then he'll go to me, oh, I just had a bit of anxiety, but it'll just go, it'll just be like a little bit.
Yeah, it's such a spectrum, isn't it? I think we all need to just stop being so hard on ourselves. That's the problem, isn't it? Like we always want to feel great, and sometimes naturally we're not always going to feel great. So I think and you need to find your triggers. It sounds like you've been up and down, both of you, like we all suffer, don't we? Ups and downs and waves. But we need to find out why are we feeling like that? And that's why the journal will be helpful.
But sometimes I feel like it's so hard to pinpoint why what triggers anxiety. I never know. I think what triggers for me is when I do something that I'm worried about the outcome, when I don't know what the outcome's going to be, that's when I get anxiety.
I feel like for the most part, I sort of always realistically know why I'm feeling like the way I am. Like I usually know there's usually something that's happened or something I'm thinking about, but like, it's like one of those things, there's nothing you can do about it. So
it kind of just comes on out the blue.
Yeah. Yeah. But I always, like, that's what people say, like, figure out exactly what it is. like figure out exactly what it is that's giving you this anxiety. And yeah, usually I can usually like, I know exactly what it is, but yeah, there's no fixing that sort of thing, you know, like it'll be one of those things like, but what I don't know what to do about it, like there's nothing I can do about it sort of thing.
So I know what you mean, the big thing. Yeah, so it's done, you know, that's fine, I've had it, so what I want to know how to deal with it, basically. It's the coping mechanism, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fear of failure is a really common one, and feeling that everyone gets it, like, you know, is natural, but because you're worrying about the outcome that you can't predict because you can't control it, so it's that kind of fear of failure. But you I think coping mechanisms is what this anxiety, you know, this is how we overcome anxiety, is understanding how do we cope with it. That's what we need to like kind of understand. But yeah, understanding where it comes from does help, because you then can know if you're in that position again, you can go straight to your coping mechanism then, rather than having to go through those horrible thoughts and that process.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love journaling. I think it's the best one.
what's number two?
Number two is breathing exercises. So simple, and you can just, there's so many breathing exercises. You've got the diaphragm ones, the ones from the inside, and you've got your chest breathing exercises. I always go to the number 4-7-8 breathing exercise.
What's that?
So you inhale really quickly. Exhale quickly, like that whoosh, whoosh sound. Then you breathe in slowly for 4 seconds. Yeah. And then hold for 7 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then let go slowly for 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So does that control your anxiety? You know, because your heart rate is going so that controls your heart rate.
What was that? 4, 7, 8.
Yeah. So you always, don't forget the first whoosh sound, so to get your body in that kind of state. And then it's breathing 4, kind of slowly. Hold for 7. And then exhale for 8.
That's quite a good one, because I feel like when I've got anxiety, I'm like, I don't think about my breathing at all. But if you've got your breathing under control, I guess that's why, like, in pregnancy, I know this is so random, but like when you have contractions, you have to do special breathing techniques.
So true. Yeah. It's because it's all connected up, like your limbic systems. So that's all the bits up here in your brain. You need to like calm your brain, because you've got all this stress chemical going around called cortisol. That's the evil. Chemical that we don't want going around. You need to kind of get it out. So it's that breathing. That's the kind of quick coping mechanism, I'd say, that you should think about when you are feeling anxious.
Yeah, that's a good one as well, because you can sort of do it on the move, like while you're driving or if you're at work, like even if you're like in company, you can sort of like do that quite it's discreet.
It's like a good control without people realizing that you're having anxiety.
Yeah, because you could just do it like kind of like secretly. No one would know.
Yeah, easy. You could just be like standing talking to people. So that is a good one. Yeah, I always feel like, people always say that as well, focus on your breathing. I feel like I know all these tips. I just never actually put them into place in my life.
They're all out there. They really are. But it's, I think if you have like a bank, that's why I could give you about 100, to be honest, because they're everywhere, aren't they? And I worked in a prison for a year with high risk, murderers, rapists.
That's mental.
Honestly, it was mental. Sorry, the sun's shining in.
I have your job? I would love to do that.
And I worked on death row in America as well with death row people.
My God, that's my favourite show.
And what did you have to do? Psychoanalyze them?
Well, I did a law degree to start with. So I worked over in Virginia kind of defending death row inmates. And you learn a lot about people. And that's why I did psychology. Because when you're dealing with people like that who are in prison all day, that have murdered someone, you start to learn a lot about people. And that's where a lot of the things that I've found and developed over the years, they all differ from different people, because in a prison they really needed to de-stress and talk to me, and so you just learn all these different coping mechanisms, but everyone's different in all different environments.
Mental.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah,
crazy. I love stuff like that. That must have been awful though. Did you ever lose people, talk to people that you maybe sort of, I know they're probably just so terrible, but get a bond with, and then they died?
Well, no, actually, I was really lucky. There was no deaths when I was working on death row. I just missed one. So before I got there, there was an execution. But no,
how do they do it nowadays with an injection?
Yeah, it's an injection.
Yeah, lethal injection.
Oh,
yeah.
Imagine that just going into your arm and knowing that is about to shut you down.
But aren't they slowly make that not many places are doing that anymore. Like they're like a petition to stop doing that.
Isn't it just like Texas and all of those kind of places?
Yeah, Texas is like electric chair and firing squad still. Like it's mental. Like I went to Washington DC, so completely different. But they're all different around America.
So,
yeah. Wow. I know. Yeah, so it's another
topic. Yeah, I was about to say maybe we need to get you on another time to talk about like crime and stuff like that. I love all stuff like that. I'm so interested.
It's like working in a prison is that's where you learn about people. That's when you learn about real people. But then I've never thought, oh, just because these people are in prison, that when someone comes to me for help, like while I'm coaching them, just because they're from an affluent background, you know, had the best schooling, doesn't mean that they can't suffer either. Like we're all the same, despite what we might have gone through.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we're on, number two.
Number three now. Yeah.
I think this is a really weird one, but I think it's really helpful and something to do on your own. It's to do with mirroring. So it literally, it's set, like stood in the bathroom when you're feeling really low about yourself and accepting yourself. So just looking at the mirror. This is a really difficult one for people to do, but it's just looking in the mirror and just saying, I like who I am. I know I'm not perfect. It's just that affirmation bit, but a mirroring one's had a really lot of them kind of good research, but it's one to do on your own, like when you're not feeling very good, it's just accepting yourself. That's
so yeah,
that's
like not a lot. Learning to accept who you are, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, I feel like that one's quite tough for people, isn't it? That's quite a deep. A
sometimes I do look in the mirror and I'm like, be positive today, be positive today. Courtney, be positive. Does it work? Sometimes.
Maybe you're not doing it right.
I'm like, be positive. I'm like, don't have a breakdown. Don't have a breakdown.
You don't shout at yourself.
I'm like, because you know when you're like during your period and you're like, every little thing niggles at you. I'm like, don't let it ruin your day. Be positive. Be happy.
Yeah, I have like talked in the mirror to myself before, you know, like trying to give myself a pep talk. But I find it quite like I'll end up like crying if I talk to myself in the mirror. I don't really know why. Well, because I find it's like quite like.
That's self-esteem, that is. That's that's self-esteem. That's a trigger for anxiety as well, which is not a disorder. So anxiety is the disorder, and anxiety comes in loads of different other disorders. But self-esteem is actually not a clinical problem. It's actually just something that we all suffer from: low self-esteem, high self-esteem. So if you get good self-esteem, good low anxiety should happen.
Okay, so I've got a question actually, because sometimes people say like, you know, like people that don't understand anxiety and stuff, they say, explain it. What is it? Do you know, like, how do you explain anxiety?
Yeah, I think a really simple way of explaining it is basically it's in the fear. Let's try and get a good explanation. So it's that feeling of fear and lack of control and not feeling like yourself and just allowing it. I did write one down, which is a really good one that I found. Here we go, I'll read this one out. Anxiety is the mind and body's reaction to stressful, dangerous, or unfamiliar situations. It's a sense of an uneasiness and distress or dread. That's the simple way of just giving an example.
Which is what we get like. Let's say we'd go into like a scene when we was on TOWIE and it would be like, we know it's going to be an argument, but we don't know what the outcome will be. We'd get really bad anxiety before a scene, wouldn't we?
Yeah, like couldn't eat.
I'm not. That's a tough show that you are on. Like, I can only imagine some of the situations that you're in. Like that is perfectly normal. You know you're going into it, and you're gonna something's gonna happen. It
especially is like coming from like a background. I know Courtney was the same. Like before I went on TOWIE, I'd never argued with anyone other than like my brother. Do you know what I mean? Like I'd never been in like confrontational. I just wasn't that person. Like I never was the one to fall out of my friends or like, you know, even in school. You know, like there was like lots of those girls that like fall out and have all the fights, and I was just never like that. I was always just kind of like coasted along my life. Do you know what I mean? I always sort of like kept to myself just enough, like that.
Yeah.
But like surprisingly, we're not argumentative people.
No, but now we've had to learn. We've had to like learn to be like you know argumentative.
Yeah, so it's like before, if someone said something that pissed me off, I'd probably just be like, oh, whatever, I'll ignore it. But now I'm like, do you know what? No, I'm not having that because that's just what for the last 6 years I've had to do. It's just like turn around and be like, well, actually, no, that's not right. Whereas normally before I'd be like, oh, whatever, don't care.
Yeah, with I was like different. I would just like cry and get upset if someone says something horrible to me. And if you look on like early days of TOWIE, I literally just if anyone ever like comes to me, it's like God, I'm just like, I just cry.
Yeah, I watched it. I followed the show from like the get-go, and if you look back, I wouldn't perceive you as argumentative people, no. To be honest. I think there's a lot of prodding, wasn't there, and the characters that you probably had to intertwine, interact with. Yeah. But yeah, I think you're naturally both really nice girls.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we had to just learn to argue, and now I'm like, okay. Sometimes I have an argument with George now, and I think, don't start with me because I'm a professional arguer.
Great fashion, I love it.
It's literally my job.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's self-esteeming. Yeah, but I think that, mind you, you must have changed so much as people, and that's probably why sometimes you do probably feel, yeah, but it's all experience, isn't it? That's the thing, life is experience, and that's one thing these young adults have to realize, that they're going to go through these life changes, physiological changes. It's a tough environment, aren't they?
Yeah, I've got a lot out of TOWIE, really, when I think about it. Like, it's made me so much stronger. It's made me, I was just a pushover when I was younger. Like, you know, like, and if someone, people could just walk all over me, I'd have friends and they could like control me and, you know, tell me what to do. And I was just a pushover. I just wanted an easy life. And I just, you know, if someone told me to jump, I'd say how high. I was just always that person. And then TOWIE sort of has taught me to stick up for myself. So, you know, I always think, I thank TOWIE for that. Because I wonder if with age I would have got older and just learned to stick up for myself anyway, or if I just would have always been this like, gosh, quite like a weak, like fumbling person. Do you know what I mean? I just was never like, and now...
I think everyone changes a girl, and that's one thing that I'm worried about the younger child, like the younger generation coming through, is the resilience. Like, they're so used to being a bit kind of in their comfort zones, and it's about stepping out of the comfort zone. And that's a good technique. This is a bit of a bigger one, but around anxiety, actually learning how to step out of your comfort zone, learning how to react to kind of that, because that's a big part of life. You can't cushion people, can we? Like, we have to learn how to get out of our comfort zone, go to that job interview, make new friends. And that's a big learning piece, is actually embracing that change.
Yeah. Should we move on to step four?
Are we on four? Well, that was kind of four, wasn't
five.
It?
Yeah, that was four. Let's do five. I can finish off with a good one. So my last one, I'd say, is... So I could talk about growth mindset, fixed mindset, but again, that's quite a difficult one to really kind of learn. I go for something simple, really important. Everyone forgets to do it. It's carving out time in your diary just for you. And it's such a simple one, and everyone's probably heard about it. But I have, like, my fiance hates it. I have Sacred Sunday. So I have like 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. is my time. And I'm like, if I don't get that time, you can piss off, because it really fits.
I so need what that, do you like, do from support. 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. just write in your diary?
Well, yeah, that sounds quite sad though, doesn't it? Just writing.
No.
But no, I usually, like, I can go to the gym, go for a walk. I try to do something that is kind of gets my mind in a good place for Monday, because new week, new start, need to kind of get going. So it could be, or going to see friends, even if I want to have like just that time out. But I try to fill it with something positive, or, you know, go to the gym, because get the chemicals going, just something good just for 2 hours. And it's just my time, even a facial, you know, a long bath, something like that.
Yeah, just some you time.
Yeah, it's really important. We don't do it enough.
Yeah, I think for me, like, me time is really, I like walking and listening to music and stuff like that. Like, just walking around London, I find really therapeutic. I really love it. I love, like, to go on like walks for hours around London. Or as well, like, this one's quite like a probably a bit of a sad one, but I quite like you know, like watching TV. I quite like escapism. I like watching like The Vampire Diaries,
a good way.
Bridgerton, or like something that's not real life. Yeah. So that this is probably very personal because it's our job, but I don't really like watching reality TV. I find it makes me anxious, honestly. I don't know
it's
why.
Because we know what's going on, and we know exactly how they're feeling, and what, I feel like we know what they do.
I don't like, in my spare time, my time off, I don't actually like watching reality TV at all. I like watching something that's like completely like different to my life.
That makes sense though. And I think we all need that time to ourselves. And like, it's about calming down, isn't it? It's about having that escapism. Like, if I have trouble sleeping, I listen to, this sounds weird, but the app with like rain noises and thunder.
Oh, yeah, I've tried that. My friend listens to it all the time, and I fall asleep to it so easily. Yeah. Although, to be fair, I sleep with a fan on every night, because I sleep to the sound of it. I can't sleep in a dead quiet room.
Yeah, the humming sound, isn't it? Yeah. It relaxes you. Yeah.
One of my friends once had a boyfriend, and he had to sleep with the hairdryer in his bed. Like, so the hairdryer would just blow
up.
Yeah, and he like had loads, and he couldn't sleep without this noise of the hairdryer. It's very strange, isn't it?
That's like babies sleep to white noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's quite comforting, isn't it? I don't know what it does. I don't actually know what that does to us in terms of noise, but I think it's basically to chill out our kind of like the limbic system, which I keep mentioning, the calming. But I love that thunder noise. It sounds weird, but
if I'm in a dead quiet room, I feel like my mind would be going 100 miles an hour. But because I'm in a room with noise with the fan on, I feel like I get distracted.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I guess like our mind is so busy, isn't it, with thoughts all the time. And I think it's good to have something else to focus on. Focus is a massive thing about anxiety, focusing on what the present, you know, what's not happening, at like what can't we control. It's about the here and now, and that's what a lot of people don't do, is focus on what they're doing now.
Yeah, that's so true. I feel like someone said this to me, and I think it's so true. The only thing in life you can control is yourself. So like, don't worry about other people or what they're doing, or like, you know, mm-hmm. the only thing you can control is yourself. You can control nothing else and no one else. So just
we're in our own world. Yeah. Like we can't, I'm not in your world right now. I don't know what's going on with you. Like, we're all in our own little world. Yeah. And we have to realize that it's only us that we can control. We can't control someone else's reaction or what they do. We're in our own little like planets, aren't we, really?
Yeah,
so that's a really,
it's actually
good
crazy point. When you think about it, like,
I know,
that
my friend, have our own rules and...
Yeah, my friend was saying to me the other day, she's quite deep, she says like quite deep stuff, she said don't you think it's mad, like, you'll never actually, like, you know, I've been with my boyfriend for years, but she was like, but you'll never actually know, like, you never actually know what he's thinking, like, or like, she's like, even like your mum and your dad, like, you've known them your whole life, and you know mm-hmm. know them on the surface, but she was like, you'll never actually know what's going on in their head, never, unless they tell you. Yeah. How do you even trust what they're saying is true? Like, you never actually know anyone. It's really, really strange.
I know, when you start, me and my friends have these deep conversations all the time, and it's always me starting them off that are completely agree, like, we can only control ourselves, like, we only know ourselves, don't we?
Yeah.
And then when you're growing up, you don't actually know yourself. There's a stat to say that you don't actually know who you are until you're 30s, like, you actually don't know who you are, because you've got all these life experiences.
I mean, I'm only like a month and a half in, so, but I do feel like, I mean, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, like, definitely when I think about like my young 20s, even lots of my 20s, I was so lost. Like, I didn't even necessarily know it, but I was just completely lost. I was just like stumbling through. I didn't know who I was. I didn't like trust my own opinion. I didn't really, I sort of knew some things I liked, but wasn't really sure. Like, you know, like, I just was just so.
That's just me now.
Yeah.
That is me now. I'm still stumbling across my 20s, having no clue about anything. I don't just start what anyone else is doing. I'm like, oh, okay. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Don't know who you are. Like, your identity comes in later, it really does. Like,
I'm excited for it to kick in.
Yeah, but mine definitely started, like, I think, like, 28, I started to really just, I think we were talking about this the other day as well, it came with sort of, like, confidence. Like, I just sort of got to this stage where I just kind of accepted myself, and I was like, this is who I am, this is what I look like. Like, if you don't like it, then cool. Like, you know, you do just kind of get to that place, whereas... I just was not there at all before. But yeah, you just kind of, it's almost like kind of all of a sudden as well, you just start to feel a bit, just a bit more settled in yourself.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the 5 points onto a sheet so everyone can remember what the bullet points were.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. I think it'd be really useful for everybody.
Yeah, and I feel like we should get you back on talking about other things as well, because I know that you do, it's quite broad, isn't it, what you do, like, lots of other things as well. Do you do anything to do with, like, do you work with, like, young adults and stuff on, like, dealing with their mindset and stuff like that? Yeah, I feel like there are some other subjects so we could definitely get you back on.
Yeah, we can look at it, because I work with a whole range of people, and I contract. I'm like all over the place, really, but I do a lot of different areas of mindset, you know, flourishing, coping with change. There's so many different areas in my job that I work with. So we can definitely talk about what might be useful.
Coping with change is a good one. That is definitely a really good one. You know, it was amazing. Yeah, it was lovely to meet you. Thank you for that. It was so interesting.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me on. I've had a lovely time. Thank you.
We will definitely get you back on. There's so many things we need to cover.
Yeah, well, good luck, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.